Good morning and welcome to another installment of the Virginia Athletics Podcast. I'm Jeff White from VirginiaSports.com, and this is the 193rd podcast we've recorded since starting this series in November 2013. My guest today is Brian O'Connor, head coach of the UVA baseball team, and he's making his ninth appearance on this podcast. Fortunately for us, he never runs out of good material. Brian, welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Jeff. I didn't realize it's the ninth one. You keep track of those things, huh?
Yeah, I've been writing them down. So, yeah. Before we look ahead to the weekend, big game last night, or a midweek game that turned out well for the team. You beat Radford 12-4. It was the fourth win in five games for the team. Did that come at a good time for you?
I think so. You know, certainly the come-from-behind victory against Virginia Tech on Sunday and the positive momentum that comes from that. And then, you know, you obviously want to win every game, you know, but then this, you know, last night we had a tremendous offensive ball game, which was great to see. And, you know, threw a bunch of different pitchers out there, which is good. And so it was a nice win for us to keep that positive momentum going into a key series with North Carolina this weekend.
Yeah, let's talk about the Virginia Tech series. It starts off with an emphatic win in game one of a doubleheader on Friday. You lose a tough one Friday night. No game Saturday because of the weather. So you got a lot of time to think about it. You get back out there Sunday. The game is not going well for 7-plus innings. And then you kind of turn it on late and find a way to win. Could that you look back at that and say that was a pivotal weekend, a pivotal time for the team?
Absolutely, a pivotal game on that Sunday. You know, doubleheaders are tough to win in this league, to win both of them, you know. And I thought we played terrific in game one. Derek Casey was outstanding. We scored 9 runs. And then, you know, game two, although, you know, I felt Daniel Lynch pitched a great ball game, we just couldn't muster enough to find a way to win that second game of a doubleheader. And you're exactly right that one day wait in between to go to Sunday gives you a lot of time to think. And, you know, we had opportunities in the first 7 innings of the ball game on Sunday and just couldn't cash in. And but I thought we mixed and matched pitching wise and didn't let the game get out of hand, right? It wasn't too far away from being able to win the game. And I think that was the key. You know, all of a sudden, if a pitcher goes out there and gives up 3 runs in an inning and they're up 5 or 6 runs, it's a different animal. And then we were able to score enough in the 8th and 9th. And, you know, it was one of those games that this team needed at an important time, and certainly against your rival.
The big news last night, I think most would agree, was the return of Noah Murdock, mm-hmm. who pitched an inning. Noah hurt his elbow last year, had Tommy John surgery. Did you go into the year thinking there would be a possibility you could get him back?
Yeah, you know, we certainly didn't plan on anything, but, you know, everybody handles this rehab differently. We've had guys before. Artie Lewicki returned in about eight months one time. So they all handle it a little bit differently. So Noah really didn't have a hiccup at all through his rehab and through his progression. And, you know, all of this is watched over by our great trainer, Brian McGuire. But, you know, Dr. Jim Andrews, who did the surgery, is also watching from afar on these kids too. And you give them reports on how it's progressing. And ultimately, you know, our doctors, Dr. Andrews and our trainer, Brian McGuire, have to sign off on kind of the next steps. And Noah's progressing great. And really about 4 weeks ago, Jeff, we thought that maybe there was a chance that he was going to pitch this year. And it wasn't because we felt like we needed him and had to have him come back. When you're dealing with this kind of injury and this return, what you have to do is you need to do what his progression in his body is telling you to do. And as he continued to progress and didn't have soreness after he pitched and continued to build up, the next step is live game competition. And so that's where we're at, and last night was the time to do that.
Hal, I know you will bring him along slowly. If he continues without hiccups, what's like the best case scenario for him when you get into May?
Well, I mean, if everything progresses well and he continues to build up and doesn't have isn't sidetracked at all, I mean, I think he's a potential candidate possibly to start for us, you know, potentially on the weekend once we get to May, you know. But we'll have to see how next week goes and the week after that, and we'll certainly build to that and listen to what his body tells us to do.
You got another player back last night, Caleb Knight, who had been your starting catcher. He was not out as long, obviously, as Noah was, but injuries are part of sports. You've dealt with them in the past, but I'm not sure you've dealt with them on the level that you've had this year. Cam Simmons out for the year. Jake McCarthy is still out. Justin Harrington's been sidelined. Drew Blakely, you mentioned the other day, has had Tommy John, and he's gone for the year. What's that been like? You feel a little snake bit?
Oh, I feel like the MASH unit, you know? Yeah. When you've – this our 15th year here, and when you do it this long, I mean, things happen. There's some years that it goes really, really smoothly, and you don't have many hiccups. And there's some years that are certainly challenging, and this is one of those years and challenging from the injury standpoint. But I do like how some guys have emerged. You know, you brought up Caleb Knight. You know, he hadn't played for a couple of weeks, and you know, here's the guy that's returning that you think can really help you in the middle of the lineup. He's your returning starting catcher, and what that has happened is Cam Comer's taken over behind the plate, and he's done a nice job, and he's got some really valuable experience, and he's developed because of injury. So you have two ways to look at it when these things happen, Jeff. You can feel sorry for yourself and poor old us, and what are we going to do? Or you can look at it as opportunity. It's opportunity to plug some other guys in there, gain some experience, and then when you do have reinforcements that come back, now your depth is that much better than it was before.
One of the guys who's had to play a leading role for you is Kamen Richardson. Mm. This is a guy who was a shortstop in high school, which meant he was probably a shortstop in Little League. He's probably the best athlete on his team all the way through. He's your center fielder now. Had he ever set foot in the outfield as a baseball player before? You kind of had to put him out here this year?
You know, I got to tell you, Jeff, I don't know that I ever asked him. We hadn't shuffled him out there at all in his time with us. You know, came and started at the year at shortstop for us last year and started at shortstop again this
year.
Played
some third this year,
I think. Yeah, and he's a good athlete. He can move around. You know, he can play any of the infield spots. And when we got into the situation that we were in, started running him out there in center field and he's a good athlete, and he's a competitor, and it brings a smile to my face to see the development that he's had, and now that the at bats have piled up for him too, he's
starting to hit a little.
Yeah, absolutely, that's starting to go the right direction. So I'm excited that versatility that he has, and then when Jake McCarthy comes back, whenever that is. You know, that's going to give us some options. Kevin Richardson's going to have some confidence, and maybe we can move him somewhere else on the diamond.
You are playing this season in what, in many ways, is a brand-new ballpark, mm-hmm. thanks to the $18 million renovation of what was then called Davenport Field. It's now called Disharoon Park in honor of Les Disharoon and his late wife, Ann. What have the Disharoons meant to the UVA baseball program since you've been here?
Well, I appreciate you bringing that up. This ballpark is beautiful. And for any of the Cavalier fans that haven't had a chance to come out, please come out this weekend or whenever the rest of the season and support this team. But, Les and Ann Disharoon have been key components to our baseball program for quite some time, or for the time that I've been the coach here for 15 years. And Les is known as the godfather of Virginia baseball. That's what we refer to him as. And it's because his love and care of the program and his thoughtfulness. You know, he's one of our suite holders at the stadium, and his luxury box is always full of people, and he's always gets people to use the tickets and come out and support the team. And, he's just always very, very thoughtful about what are the right things to do moving forward, whether it be from the fan experience or from the player experience and things like that. And he's really, really engaged in this program being the best it can be, and roots for the kids, and is really, really proud of what Virginia Athletics has accomplished. And he goes to all the football games, basketball, he's engaged in everything. And here is somebody, and this is not unlike a lot of people in this community, Jeff, as you know, is he's not even a Virginia graduate. You know, Les graduated from Dartmouth. Right. And so, but moved to this community to retire and fell in love with the athletes here. And, I think there's a lot of people in this community that are a lot like him.
Heading into a big weekend series with North Carolina at Disharoon Park, your team is 19-14 overall and 6-9 in the ACC. This is your 15th season, as you mentioned. And at the 33 game mark, your team's record has usually been better than it is this year. You've had so much success here. This is kind of uncharted territory for you and your staff. What's the season been like?
Well, you know, it's been a challenge, you know, but it's been a challenge of opportunities and opportunities of trying to figure out, you know, putting the pieces of the puzzle together to give us the best chance to win every day. And that goes with pitching. It goes with our position players. It goes with style of play and things like that, you know, that you have to adapt when things happen. And, you know, hey, this season, Jeff, it mirrors life. You know, life's difficult. Life is going to send you some difficult times. And so you have to adjust and you have to keep going out there and competing and finding a way. And so, you know, although a lot of people would feel like it's been frustrating, it's been exciting in a lot of ways too, to figure out, hey, how do we give this team the best chance to win? And our guys they're working hard. They're working hard every day, and they're in there fighting, and I'm excited to see them continue down the stretch run here.
The program has a streak of 14 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances that you'd love to extend to 15. Is postseason a topic you discuss with your players, or do you figure they're just going to follow it and stuff right. will take care of itself? If you win enough games, you get in. If you don't.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I've never addressed it with any of our teams, and I haven't addressed it with this year's team. You know, for 15 years, Jeff, we've been really talking the same theme, and that is, hey, get better today. Let's win the one in front of us type thing. And I've always thought as a coach, if you try to get too far out in front of this, right, and when later in the season, if you get yourself in a position where you kind of know where your place is, then you can make some adjustments that maybe what you want to do with your pitching or things like that. But during this stretch in any season, we've just said, hey, let's go out there and get better. Let's develop this team. Let's develop these players. Let's go after the one in front of us. And then for 14 years, we've been able to look up at the end and say, hey, we're right there in the mix. And so that formula hasn't changed, and we'll continue to do that moving forward.
One of your veterans is your second baseman, Andy Weber. Had a home run last night against Radford. Andy hit 269 as a freshman, 278 last year. He's up to 373 this season. What's been the difference for him at the plate?
Well, I think it's just maturity. I think it's confidence. You know, the at-bats that he had in the first 2 years, and you know, this development of a baseball player happens over a long period of time, and so here he is now, his third year in our uniform, and you know, he's continued to progress, and he's got a lot of confidence, and when you have confidence and you have ability like he has, you can have this kind of year. And so you know, he's needed to be that leader in the middle of the lineup for us, and he's doing a fantastic job with it.
I mean, you needed that, right, from with Jake and Cam out in particular?
Yeah, we did. You know, I mean, when Cam went out before the season started, and certainly Jake's been out for all of ACC play, you know, we needed a guy like Andy Weber to step forward, and he's done a terrific job from a leadership standpoint on the field, from a performance standpoint.
Your two best and most consistent pitchers have been Derek Casey and Daniel Lynch. Derek is your Friday starter. He's a guy who had Tommy John early in his career. He's pitching great. Now, is this the pitcher you thought he would be at UVA? I mean, it's taken longer because of those circumstances than he would have liked, and probably you would, but he's become a really effective Friday starter.
He has. He's where what we thought we would get by his sophomore year, right? I mean, that's usually when you see these guys really make that jump after they've had their experience their freshman year. But unfortunately, at the end of his freshman year, he was sidelined, you know, with the injury. So here he is. I thought, you know, at the end of last year, I thought he was tremendous, and he's put together a fantastic year for us and doing a great job, you know, leading that pitching staff.
Daniel Lynch showed flashes as a first year and as a second year, but he also had some rough outings. He's pitching more consistently and better, I think, than he has at any time. What's been the difference for him on the mound?
Yeah, he sure is. I think it's a confidence thing. I mean, Daniel's, because of the learns that he's had over the first 2 years, I believe he knows now that he's really good and he's talented, and it's not in a cocky kind of way. Or he's a very, very humble young man. But when you stand out on that mound, you got to believe in yourself and you got to believe in your stuff. And Daniel Lynch certainly does that now.
Tanner Morris is one of your first years. He's also a local kid. I think he had 3 hits last night. He's batting .322, starting at short for you. What's it been like? How old was he when you first saw him? You know, being a local guy.
Yeah, I think I saw him play for the first time maybe his freshman year in high school. And then we started recruiting him shortly thereafter. And I think this is one of the great stories on our team, right? I mean, the local boy playing here, starting at shortstop, batting leadoff, right? And so I'm proud of Tanner. He's really, in the short time he's been with us, he's really matured. He's continued to develop. He just seems to keep getting better and better. And, you know, he stepped into a situation that is not an easy thing to do. Right. At this level, to start at shortstop and hit leadoff as a true freshman is very, very difficult to do.
5 ACC series left. Yeah. None of them are easy. At least the weather is starting to warm up for you.
Yeah, well, it's been a really tough year for the weather, and it's been a really tough year for the weather for a lot of places. But, you know, and hopefully with the weather turning, our crowds, you know, continue to get better. And certainly, we've got a challenging schedule in front of us, but one that we're looking forward to. And it's one that's very opportunistic, right? I mean, you come out and perform against the teams that are at the top of the conference, you'll be rewarded for that.
Well, good luck this weekend against Carolina. Next, when you come back for your 10th podcast, we'll probably be in JPJ or someplace else. So I know you're getting sentimental being here in U-Haul.
Well, for years we had offices in here, so this is a sentimental place for us. And I'm sad to see that you'll be leaving.
Yeah. Well, there's a big weekend for UVA athletics in Charlottesville. In addition to baseball, there's men's tennis. There's softball versus Virginia Tech for another Commonwealth Clash point. There's men's lacrosse and spring men's soccer. For information on all these events and much more, visit virginiasports.com. I'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.